So very good day to all of you and welcome back to this interesting subject on managing IT projects. We will get into chapter 5, which is project planning and scheduling, and see what are the nuances, techniques and methodologies involved in project planning and scheduling. Now, if you look at the Project Management Institute framework document, we have this as the major process groups. So we have initiating projects, planning projects, executing projects, then controlling the project, and the planning go in an iterative cycle, and then you have closing of the project. Now with this the process group background, we will now understand the IT planning process. Now, the IT planning process typically starts with the vision and mission of the project. Then we have the information technology strategy analysis, which links the IT strategy to the vision and mission of the project and to of the organization, and to identify the key business areas. You have a business area analysis, which documents the key business areas that could benefit from IT and using IT solutions. Now, once this is done, we do the project planning. We define potential projects, define project scope, benefits and constraints, and then we create a lot of resources in terms of people, money and etc. to get these projects implemented. So this is the typical IT planning process pyramid that you will see. And now, what is project planning and scheduling? The first thing that we will try and understand in this is, what is a project plan? Now, the term project plan means different things to different people. Their understanding of what the project plan should contain and what the project plan should have also varies from person to person. Now, to some people, a project plan is all the project plan management documentation. It includes the project definition, the scope of the project, the work involved in the project, how is the work going to happen, the organization chart, the process flow chart, the allocation of the resources, the schedule, change control procedure, and risk management strategy. Everything and anything that the project requires is called the project planning document. Now, for some people, the project plan is actually a quality plan to mean all these things. To many other people, the project plan is just the schedule of who does what and when and how. So that's another understanding of the term project plan. Then the project planning is the process or the methodology of building the schedule. In our session, we will use the term project plan to understand that building the task-by-task schedule, which we will call the overall project plan. Now, project planning works for large and small projects. The project planning procedure for large and small projects could be completely different. For large projects, the project planning has to be very systematic, structured, and detailed. Whereas for small projects, you may not even require a written project plan. It could just be an understanding that you have on how this project will go, or sometimes the back of hand calculations or a back of an envelope plan for a small project could also suffice as a complete project plan. As I said, for a large project, the planning needs to be very detailed, structured, formal, showing precisely who will do which bit of the work and by when, with a complete deadline and a calendar. This is how a typical project plan is. It's where all the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle come together. Who will do what, why will he do it, when will he do it, and how will we do it. So these all pieces of the jigsaw puzzle come together in a typical project plan. Now, let's look at some of the steps involved in the project planning. Now, the project planning steps include the following. It starts with the project goal, purpose and charter, which explains what is the project being set up for and what are the key objectives. The second thing is the assumptions related to the project. What have been the key assumptions that have been made in determining this project? then the project calendar in terms of what are the timelines for this project, what is the start date, what is the completion date, at least at the overall level. It may not give the intermediate dates in the beginning, but at least the start and end date. Then choice of life cycle methodology, the methodology of the life cycle, planning of the quality processes. Then stakeholder analysis, who are the key stakeholders in this project, what are their needs, what are their requirements, what are their expectations, and what are the risks posed by them. Then product or service, how the product functions will be defined, how will they be developed, tested, evaluated, and finally accepted. Major milestones of the project, you know, so what are the key milestones that the project will have, when will those milestones be achieved, and what are the milestone review plans. Then work breakdown structures and list of tasks and estimation of duration of each task. Then resources required to carry out these tasks with complete resourcing plan and skills plan. Outsourcing of work, for parts of the project that can be outsourced and finding the right partners for them. Project scheduling, risk identification and risk management plan, cost of the project or the budget. Projects organization structure, the communication lines and the communication methodology, MIS, what MIS is required for monitoring and review of the project, physical and technology infrastructure required to implement this project and successfully run it later on. These are all the indicator steps or the indicator system that are activities that are required to be a part of a specific project plan. We have already done some of the aspects like what is purpose, charter, goal, risks and stakeholders. Let us look at the other activities that are typically involved in the planning process. Okay? Now, initiating projects. Now, initiation is a process by which we have formally begun the project towards or formally begun to implement the project from the step one. So that's initiating processes. So if you see this is the process of initiating. Once you initiate the project, you get into planning. Once you plan, then you get into execution. If there is in the execution, you have reviews, which is controlling the plan. In the review, if you find a problem, it goes back into the planning and then shifts back to execution again. So these three, planning, executing and controlling, are forming an iterative process, and finally when the execution is completed and the review says it is completed, the complete project is closed and confirmed as done. So based on this, let's look at the purpose of the initiation process of the project. Now the purpose of initiating the project is manifold. The first purpose of initiating a project could be to get an alignment of what are the, you know, the objectives of the project within all the stakeholders. The second one could be to, you know, set the overall direction of the solution. That is, what is it that we want this project to achieve for the organization? This may then lead us to identifying the objectives, specific objectives of the project that are being defined upon. Then it may be to commit the organization to the project or a phase of the project. Then it could be to get resource necessary approvals and resources. The alignment of this project with the overall business objectives, to determine who will be the project manager and who will manage the project from an overall perspective. So if you look at the key processes that are involved in initiation, we have an input document which defines the project description, makes a strategic plan, puts the project selection criteria in place and analyzes all the historical data. What is the process? Initiation is the process of formally recognizing that a new project exists or that an existing project should continue into the next phase. What is the output that we get? We get a project proposal and we have the identification of the project manager done. And what are the tools and techniques used? We do two project selection methods and expert judgment to arrive at the final output. Now, going further into managing expectations, every project have scope of works which are limited. They have limited resources, time and money, and are intended to come to an end. They are focused on a limited set of goals. Now, managing expectation towards what can you truly commit to, not what everyone thinks it is great. In software, especially in software projects, many people like to do great things just because they're capable of doing it and the technology is capable of delivering it. But it is not important to do great things, but it is important to do the necessary things. Okay. And the second important point to remember when we create a software project is we are trying to solve a business issue or address a business challenge. We are not here to create a great piece of software. So there should be a clear understanding of this from the point of view of managing the expectations related to the project. Then we need to have a project calendar which sets out the deadlines that the project will follow, all the timelines, intermediate timelines. I mean, start to end is anyways there, but the intermediate timelines should also be done. Typically, when you do the project scheduling, creating the project calendar, all date calculations will be synchronized with the dates of all the key stakeholders. The project calendar will factor in the organization's working times, holidays. If the project is to be implemented across multiple locations, then the calendars of all these locations will be synchronized with the project implementation plan. And if the clients are located abroad, then differences in time zones, dates, the holidays in the foreign countries, etc. also will be aligned. Project schedules cannot be prepared unless the calendar is defined in terms of the start time and the end time, or at least when the deadline of the project is for completion. Types of project plans. There are different types of project plans that can be made. So if you look at this screen, the first one is a quality plan. The quality plan defines the quality standards, the quality systems and processes will be followed during the course of implementing the project. Okay. The second one is a validation plan. Now, the validation plan will define the approach, the resources and the schedule that will be used for validating the system or for testing the system to see that it delivers the required output. Okay. Then you have a configuration management plan, which describes the configuration management procedures and structures to be used. Then you have a maintenance plan. Now, this schedules the maintenance requirements of the system and the maintenance costs and efforts that are required for the system. Then staff development plan will define the skills and the experience of the project team members. How will they be developed? Will they require any further training and assistance and support in terms of their ability to deliver the project? One of the very important methods of estimating the effort, that is required to do the project is typically called the work breakdown structure. Now, what is a work breakdown structure? Now, this is a fundamental project management technique used for defining and identifying the total scope of the project using what is called the hierarchical tree method. Now, in the work breakdown structure method, the first two levels, which is the root node and level two, typically will define the planned outcomes that collectively and exclusively represent 100% of the project scope. So, what typically this does is, we have the project at the macro level, and then we get into level one, which will identify the typical steps that are required to complete the project. So, at each subsequent level, the child of the parent node collectively and exclusively also represent 100% of the scope of the parent node. So, that's how the WBS works. Now, a work breakdown structure, WBS methodology, has the following advantages. It gives an architecture to the project. When the project is executed, the project is able to link the output from various B as outputs to the end project, part of the product. It helps to visualize in the smallest level of steps and tasks that are required for the successful completion of the project. Now, thirdly, detailed visualization of the task enables the project team to determine task durations, timelines, task dependencies, and preceding and succeeding activities that may be required to complete the project. Visualization also helps to relate tasks to the skills required, both the type of skills and the quantity of skills, which helps in sourcing the same at the appropriate time when they are required in the project. Then it eases the allocation of work between the organizing teams and breaks it down into smaller sub-teams who can take up specialized parts of the project and hasten the development and completion of the same. Okay, WBS is made basis the delivery priority, so enables stage-wise planning. Since work is completed for each WBS, it enables billing to the customer and also improves the cash flow of the service provider, because the customer is given a plan in advance with the WBS output, saying that each WBS completion will allow the service provider or the software developer to bill the customer. And it helps in allocation of cost to each WBS, and therefore helps in understanding how each module or each element of the project is costing and developing and contributing to the final output. Okay. Let's get into the WBS design principles and how WBS works to create a task structure. Now, the key to creating a good WBS is to decompose the project goals into major activities. Then to take each activity and keep breaking down this activity into smaller and smaller level of tasks, which are logical and which are complete by themselves. Okay, a WBS with too much of detail is time consuming to generate and follow, and WBS which doesn't have enough detail may miss out on some of the important tasks. So be careful about handling the WBS part. There are two broad approaches to doing a WBS. One is called a top-down approach and the other is called the bottom-up approach. Now, how does a top-down approach work? You start with the main project goal and then you go down to the next level of activities, level one activities. Then you take each level one activity and break this down into further activities and sub-activities till you come to the smallest level of activity that is required to complete, a complete activity to do the project. Okay. Now, we can use a team approach here where everyone works on generating the WBS together, or use a sub-team approach where the entire team agrees on level 1 activities and then the sub-team works on detailing the level 2 and level 3 activities. So, this is how a WBS can be created. The second approach that can be done on the WBS is to use the bottom-up approach. In this, we agree on the level 1 activities using the top-down approach, then break this up into smaller teams which brainstorm all the activities you think are within that overall activity, organize the activity, check out what is missed out and what are redundant. And often the top-down approach will result in a more complete draft of the WBS, whereas the bottom-up approach will create a more accurate draft of the WBS and also have a larger buy-in from the larger part of the team. Now, one of the important things when we generate the WBS is the 100% rule. Okay. Now, what is the 100% rule? Now, this is the WBS design principle that has been identified in the practice standard of work breakdown structure, which has been published by the Project Management Institute. Now, the 100% rule is defined as follows. The 100% rule states that the WBS includes 100% of all the work defined by the project scope and captures all the deliverables, internal, external, and interim, in terms of the work to be completed, including project management. The 100% rule is the most important principle guiding the development, decomposition, and the execution of the WBS. Now, this rule applies to all levels within the hierarchy, which states that the sum of the work at the child level must equal 100% of the work represented by the parent. So, for example, if you have a parent and if that is 100%, then if you have four childs, the sum of the total of the four child levels must equal 100% of the work by the parent. Okay. Now, WBS should not include any work that falls outside the scope of work. That is, it cannot include more than 100% of the work. The 100% rule also applies to every activity level. The work represented by the activities in each work must also add up to 100% of the work necessary to complete that module or that package. So WBS code, then there's a coding scheme defined for the WBS. So it is common for WBS elements to be numbered sequentially to reveal the hierarchical level. So for example, level 1 activities can have, you know, clear numbers from 1, 2, 3 to N for each activity. Then level 2 activities can have the following numbering system. It could be 1.1, 1.2, 1.3. Then, you know, levels, for example, activity 1 can be broken down into 3 activities, 1.1, 1.2, 1.3. Similarly, you know, if 1.1 can be broken down further into 1.1.1, 1.1.2, 1.1.3, and so on and so forth. Okay. So similarly, the same logic will apply to the other level 2 activities, which is how it typically goes as a numbering scheme. So if you take this diagram, for example, this is the work breakdown structure with coding. Now, if you see at the top, this is what we call as the project goal, and under the project goal we have level 1 activities, which is deliverable 1, deliverable 2 and deliverable 3. So these are 3 level 1 activities. Now this level 1 deliverable or deliverable 1 has been broken down into 2 sub activities, which is deliverable 1.1 and deliverable 1.2. So this is level 1, this is level 2 deliverable. Now under level 2 deliverable, the 1.1 has 3 activities, 1.1.1, 1.1.2, 1.1.3. Then there's a deliverable 1.2, which is broken up into 2 further sub deliverables, which is 1.2.1 and 1.2.2. Now this deliverable have 3 activities, which can be named as 1.2.1.1. The second one is 1.2.1.2. The third one is 1.2.1.3. Similarly, the activity over here can be coded as 1.2.2.1. Then second activity is 1.2.2.2. And the third activity is 1.2.2.3. So this is level 1, this is level 2, and this is level 3. Okay, so this is how a typical coding system will work for the work breakdown structure. Then if we go at and look at a work breakdown structure for, say, making a bicycle. So if you say bicycle is level 1, then the level 2 of the bicycle is broken down into 7 different activities, one from 1.1 to 1.7, which is the frame set, the crank set, the wheels, the braking system, the shifting system, the integration, and the project management. Now, against each WBS level, there is a percentage identified. So, this is 100%, which is the parent activity, and the parent activity has been further broken down into 7 activities, which again add up to 100. So, these are the 7 child activities, and they add up to 100. Now, within that, for example, the frame set has, you know, 15 percentage points. This has been broken up into 4 different activities. So if you take frame, handlebar, fork and seat, 7 2 3 3, it'll be 3 plus 3 6 plus 2 8 and 7 15, which adds up to the 15 over here. So the breakdown of this 15 is given over here. Then the crank set, which is 5, doesn't have any other activity. Then the wheels have the front wheel and the front rear wheel. And here is the breakup of 13 and 17, giving you 30 over here. Then the braking system has no further breakdown, so 5 units, 5% over here. The shifting system 1.5 has no further breakdown, so 5% over here. Then you have integration. So the concept, design, assembly and testing 3, 5, 10 and 17 will add up to 35, and overall project management is 5, and therefore this activity also adds up to 100, this adds up to 100 and this adds up to 100. So this is how typically the work breakdown structure level 1, level 2 and level 3 will work. And you can see the numbering nomenclature. So this is level 1, 1 is the bicycle, then level 2, 1.1 to 1.7. Then say take for example the frame set at level 3, this is 1.1.1 which is the frame, 1.1.2 which is the handlebar, the 1.1.3 which is the fork, and 1.1.4 which is the seat, and so on and so forth. So this is the numbering nomenclature that the WBS structure is typically following. Now look at this work breakdown structure for a typical hotel having a banquet. Okay, so if you take this as the level 1 activity, that we have a banquet, then level 2 activities are planning and supervision, the dinner management, room and equipment, guests, staff and speakers. Okay, then if you go to planning and supervision, this is broken down into planning, budget, disbursement, reconciliation and coordination. The dinner will have a menu, shopping list, shopping, cooking and serving. Then room and equipment, the site or the room, the arrangement of the tables and chairs, settings, utensils, crockery, cutlery, decorations, equipments like, you have the projectors and computers and music systems if required, pots, etc. Then the guests will have a guest list, RSVPs, name tags and special needs, staff, who are the shoppers, cooks, servers, hosts and cleanup staff, and then all these people. So this is how the work breakdown structure for a typical banquet in a hotel can be understood. If you take for example the WBS format for a system development project, so this is one software project and that is at the WBS level 1. Now this project has been divided into sub activities at level 2. So there's hardware, software, system engineering, project management, system testing and data management. Okay. Now then hardware is divided into two main activities, which is, so if you see, this is level 1, this is number 1, this is 1.1, this is 1.1.1 and the second activity is 1.1.2. Then the second activity has been divided into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different sub-activities, which is typically coming in at level 4. And then the ninth activity has been further subdivided into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, thing which is level 5. So if you see, this is how the decomposition of the work is happening in various smaller and smaller activities. Now please note, if this is 100%, then the breakup of this 100% into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6 should be 100%. Now if this is 30, then the breakup of these two activities should be 30. Then the breakup of these 9 activities, say this is 30, then this is 10 and this is 20. All these activities should add up to 20. So this is how, systematically the main task is, taken, broken down into logical subcomponents, which is further broken down into further logical subcomponents, and each is then given a small team to implement and complete. So this is how a typical system development, this is the format of WPS for a typical system development project. Now WBS will finally lead to the identification of different tasks or activities that are required to be performed in the process of completing the project. Okay, so it could be from the largest activity to the smallest activity. Say for example, for making a farm, some of the tasks could be purchasing of agriculture land, leveling the land, soil preparation, raised bed preparation for sowing of seeds, installing drip irrigation system, etc. Now, tasks should be correctly named to eliminate confusion, as there could be similar tasks at different stages of the same project. Numbering the tasks with structured codes can identify the tasks to the phase, stage, and portion of WBS. Now, while codifying the tasks or while giving numbers to the tasks, apart from the unique identification, it is also important to identify the tasks which are similar in nature. So, for example, making of raised beds could be a common task across all sections of the farm with different crops. Grouping similar tasks could help in identifying common resources like people, skills, tools, software, equipment, etc. The next step after identifying the task is to estimate the duration that will be required to complete each level of the task.